and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again with us this week, and we're picking up our study in Mark chapter 14, verse number 10. We saw this account in Bethany, where this woman has broken this alabaster box. It's of a year's worth of wages is the value of it. She's anointed the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Judas murmurs against it at the least. Maybe some other disciples did. Judas is the ramrod. He, as John tells us, is the treasurer. He carries the money bag. It tells us in the book of John, chapter 12, that Judas said at that occasion, whether it be the same or one just a few days away, he didn't care. Judas didn't care about the poor that he claimed the ointment could have been sold for money and then the money given to the poor. He didn't care about the poor, but he was a thief, and he had the bag, the treasurer's bag, there of the first church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus sets them all straight. He says, leave her alone. She's done a good work. She's done what she can do. Have you done what you can do? That's really something that should come at us. The Lord Jesus says, you've got the poor with you always, but this time I am with you is a limited time. And she's done what she could. Have I? Have you? I saw something the other day online about a woman railing upon a man looking to preach the gospel and the truth of the need of salvation of sinners. And she pitched up to this man about why wasn't he feeding the poor and why wasn't he helping, those that are down and out and those that are, afflicted by their vices and entrapped by their vices and the wickedness that they're ensnared with and all of that. You know, doing those physical things to help people, rather than preaching to them and making them feel bad, and preaching the need of their soul for salvation. And the man made an excellent point in that, first, he doesn't, and the message of the Lord doesn't stop with the bad news, but as it is with something where we need to be helped or healed, we need to hear the bad news before we can hear the good news of the rescue. And so, and that's the way it is with the Word of God. The Word of God does condemn because we're due to be condemned. We're guilty. We're guilty sinners before God. And He tells us the truth. He tells us the grave danger of remaining in that state and to bear our own sins to eternity. And how the penalty for sin is great before God. He's highly offended at one sin. Look what Adam, eating the fruit of the tree that God forbid him to eat. There wasn't anything wrong with the fruit, I believe. There was not. The point was, the Lord said, don't eat of the tree. And that's put us all into the situation that we're in now? Yes, because that's how bad sin is. But as sinful, depraved mankind, we want to forget that. We want to justify ourselves. And so this woman was throwing it in the face of this man that was seemingly, to me, looking to truly preach the gospel there. And so she challenged him about all the physical things that he wasn't doing. And so then he turned it and he asked, who have you helped? Who have you fed? What person that is bound up in their affliction and their wickedness, the vice of sin in the world, have you looked to relieve and to support into a better thing? What have you done? And so we find that certainly the people of God all are subject to be hypocritical, and God hates hypocrisy. And may we not be found to be hypocrites. Lord, forgive me when I am hypocritical. I don't want to be hypocritical. May the Lord help that we guard against being hypocritical and it not be so with us to be hypocritical, because the Lord hates hypocrisy. And the thing is we find that hypocrisy, what is hypocrisy? Is to proclaim a thing to be so, and you don't take your own advice. You don't take your own preaching. You don't do. And it's what the Lord said about the Pharisees, the religious leaders and the lead of the day in his day. He said the scribes and the lawyers, they look to bind men with burdens, but they won't lift one finger to do them themselves. You know, a preacher that preaches for other people to do things that he doesn't do himself or live himself is a hypocrite. And, but because of that, people look on at organized religion and they see through hypocrisy. Children see through hypocrisy very easily. And indeed, they are discouraged. And so we don't need to be hypocrites. Judas was hypocritical in what he had said, and John points that out. And so this woman, back to this woman in this case, I was telling, she told, why are you out here making us feel bad by preaching this fire and brimstone and damnation doctrine that you have? But the thing is, the man didn't leave it off with that. I mean, he made very clear that there is salvation and rescue and peace and love exhibited and assurance in Jesus Christ. But see, men don't want to hear about that. Women don't want to hear about that because, as it tells us in John 3, they love their sin more than they love the Lord. Matter of fact, they love sin unto hating the Lord. That's the way I was before I was saved. And if you're here under the hearing of my voice and are honest and you're saved, that's the way you were before you were saved. And that's the way that it is even with the old man, the flesh. It still hates the Lord. And so so then we see here the indignation. Here's the indignation that's been mentioned here in verse number 4 of Mark 14. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. You know, indignation, I think, is speaking about anger turning into wrath. Wrath is anger with legs on it. Wrath is making, anger has come to the point that the person is going, they're so enraged that they're going to do something about it. And that's where we find this man. And Judas, verse number 10, Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priests to betray him unto them. So Judas has got to the point that he's ready to make some money off the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to know who Jesus is. They have a hard time picking Jesus out from the crowd. And I find that interesting. Why would they need someone to put the finger on the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure they had the right man? And I think it's that Jesus Christ isn't going around with the halo over his head as he's depicted. He doesn't go around as looking like a long-haired hippie freak. He's a man that blends in amongst men until he opens his mouth. And there is that sense too that the world's eyes are withholden to where they Jesus is there and they do see him, but they don't take him to be of any consequence. There's no beauty, Isaiah writes, in him that we should desire him. And so he just blended into the crowd until he opened up his mouth. And so the words on the street that they need somebody to identify Christ, the Lord Jesus, and Judas, so filled with indignation, being the hypocrite that he is, even there in that inner circle of the Lord's apostles, went into the chief priests to betray him unto them. And some would say, why did Jesus allow this to happen? If Jesus is all powerful, why did he allow this to happen? Well, it sends a message to us that no matter your position in the Lord's church, that's not salvation. And yes, Judas was called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle. Judas feigned being a disciple of Christ from whom he chose the apostles. But even if being a treasurer in the Lord's church, being an apostle in the Lord's church, isn't salvation. Salvation is by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas had never repented, and Judas had never trusted in Christ. Why would Jesus allow this to be? Well, it was necessary that there be one even that close that betray the Lord. Ooh, isn't God meddling in men's affairs and lives? Isn't that going too far? We got to remember that the Lord is the creator. He can do with us whatever he wants. And praise be to his name when he does it. Lord, help us that we just might submit to him in it. And so the chief priests are there, and Judas is before them. He's willing to betray the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. So now they're happy. The chief priests are happy. They're glad they've got an inside man. Wasn't that an astonishment to them? That one of the inner circle, the apostles and the Lord's church, would come to betray the Lord Jesus. You know, a hypocrite, I think it tells us in Proverbs, can destroy much. And here with these chief priests, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is compromised by this man who they find to be a hypocrite. He's there to be a witness of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be one of the closest ones to him, ones that have been sent by him to preach ahead of him in the cities of Galilee. And one of those inside men come over to the chief priests who want to kill the Lord and was willing to betray him and to them. It just emboldens those chief priests that what they're doing is right and what Jesus is doing is wrong. And we know that's the exact opposite of what's true, but it just emboldens them. And that's what hypocrisy does. Lord, forgive us and help us when we're hypocritical as the Lord's people. When they heard it, they were glad, promised to give him money, verse 11, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. So he's on the lookout for a way to do it. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And so the brethren asked, said, it's Passover time. Lord, what do you want us to do? He sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into a city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wheresoever he shall go in, say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber that I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And disciples went forth and came to the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And so Jesus is going to eat the Passover with his disciples, and he makes it known unto them there at the beginning of that, one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. Even tonight. But see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. If you're not saved, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The time of your life and the time of this world is drawing nigh. We pray that you'll repent and believe and the Lord would save. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.